We'll be watching what the Fed is watching.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to help organizations of all types and sizes achieve their strategic goals. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The global perspective in a moment, but first, policymakers at the Federal Reserve in Washington will finish a two-day meeting today and then do a public briefing. Any nuance on the future of interest rates or stimulus will be parsed closely. The Fed had previously said it would keep interest rates near zero, at least until unemployment hit 6.5%. It's now 6.7%. But we'll be watching to see today if the Fed Chair Janet Yellen, in the name of more transparency, will actually pinpoint some other economic measures on her radar. Marketplace's Dan Weissman reports.
Players in the stock and bond markets always want to know exactly what the Fed will do next, even when the Fed can't say for sure. Ann Owens is an economics professor at Hamilton College and a former Fed economist.
They're trying to figure out, what is the Fed telling me about what interest rates will do? There's a real incentive to try to figure that out before everybody else does. Because if you can do that, you can make a profit.
The Fed wants to give some guidance about what it's thinking without boxing itself in. Kenneth Kuttner is an economist at Williams College. He also worked for the Fed. He says the Fed is like a college professor with market players as grade-grubbing students.
You hand out the grading rubric, and some kid says, oh, look, I did X that's on your grading rubric. Why don't you get an A? You need to be specific enough so that they kind of know what to do in the paper, but vague enough that you can say, you know, these other things on the rubric that I'm taking into account as well.
Because if those students get too unruly, it can cause trouble for the whole class. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
Speaking of unruly, let's do the numbers. The FT 100 is down two scant points at the moment. With the Fed meeting in Washington, the 10-year Treasury yield is down slightly, 2.67%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up, but not by much. Michelle Obama lands in China tomorrow, where she will meet with Chinese First Lady Peng Liyuan in Beijing before touring the country to speak about education. Her daughters and mom are also going along. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is in Shanghai. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, David.
So here we have the first women of the world's top two economies spending a day together. Sounds like a match made in photo op heaven.
Yes, indeed. They're hanging out in the Forbidden City. They're seeing a show together. They've even got a dinner date. I think the hope here is that these two first ladies have more in common than their husbands have in common with each other. They are both passionate advocates for educational opportunity. Both of them are known for their fashion sense. Both have daughters, and both are very popular in their respective countries.
How popular do you think Michelle Obama might prove to be with Chinese people?
Oh, I think she'll be very popular. Today, I spoke to education reformer Zhang Xueqin about this, and he said she will likely have rock star status here in China.
The fact that she has two very pretty daughters coming to China is a big sell. The fact that she's a rags-to-riches story, that's a message that's very sympathetic in China.
Now, America's First Lady will talk about the value of an American education during her visit to schools there. How will this go over in China?
Well, she's going to be preaching to the converted. Most Chinese recognize the shortcomings of their own education system. Many are sending their children away to universities in the U.S. There are now more than 200,000 Chinese students studying in the U.S., and American universities are establishing campuses all over China to meet that demand.
And making a lot of money in the process, I assume.
Absolutely. Billions.
That's Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Battelle, solving what matters most in national security, health and life sciences, energy, and the environment. More at Battelle.org. By Fast Company's Innovation Uncensored Conference, featuring entrepreneurs inventing the future of business, April 10th in New York. More information and registration at ny.innovationuncensored.com. And by Citrix, with GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses worldwide in face-to-face online meetings. More at GoToMeeting.com.
In East Baton Rouge Parish in Louisiana, there's a fight underway. Some residents in an unincorporated part of what is essentially a county say their public schools are a mess of low expectations, violence, bullying. So they're trying to branch off and form a new town called St. George with a new school system. But taxes and history could get in the way, as Noel King reports from Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk.
Melissa O'Reilly is a Baton Rouge native. She went to the public schools and sent her kids to them. Then one day, her daughter came home from the third grade.
She was really upset. You know, the kids were throwing desks. They were a lot bigger than she was. She was actually hit by one of the desks. It was a mess. The teacher had completely lost control.
That day, she decided to send her kids to private school. Melissa was thrilled when she heard about the proposal to incorporate St. George. Then she realized her house is on the Baton Rouge City side of the line.
Part of me feels left out, you know, like we're standing on the beach while the boat's pulling away and we're like, please take us with you.
Her youngest is about to enter kindergarten, and private school for three kids would run more than $20,000 a year. So her family is moving away to a new town with a great public school system. But if St. George incorporates, it could affect the sale of Melissa's house.
We expect to see our property value drop pretty severely. Why would somebody want to buy my house in a failing school district when they can go, you know, two neighborhoods over and be in a great school system? Our realtor typically waits until about spring to put houses on the market, but she actually wanted to go ahead and list ours at the beginning of February.
Baton Rouge and the unincorporated area share a government. They share funds. They share the cost of pensions and post-employee benefits like health care for retired city parish workers, things that are going to be tough to untangle. And they share a tax base that pays for things the parish needs, like road and sewer maintenance. Jim Richardson, an economist at LSU, was commissioned by a local chamber of commerce to look at what might happen if St. George splits away. Turns out many of the big retail centers, like the massive Mall of Louisiana, are in the area that would become St. George.
We estimated about $85 million of tax monies would not come to the city of Baton Rouge.
Trey Cook is a St. George supporter. He disagrees.
We're not building a wall. We're not, you know, setting up checkpoints for people to come in and out.
But he points out lots of people like Melissa O'Reilly, are so fed up with the schools that they're leaving the parish anyway. And maybe this is an opportunity to keep those that are still left. I'm Noelle King for Marketplace.
If you want to play it again, Sam, lots of what we do is also at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The idea of financing 4 or 5 years of higher education is enough to make people cringe.
I think what's important for me to do in my role, as well as other college presidents, is to help people think past the sticker price.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. That and more from the president of Smith College next time on Marketplace from APM.